Samuel Bourassa is with me. He is the creative director involved in a new video game called Two Falls that aims to tell an authentic Indigenous story. Welcome, Samuel.
Thank you, Shannon.
Tell us a little bit about Two Falls. What is the game about?
Well, Two Falls is what we like to call an interactive drama, so it's kind of a new genre that we're coining. The game is aiming to release on many popular platforms like Steam on PC and the PlayStation and Xbox. It's really a mass market game. It's a first-person game, so you're playing through the eyes of the characters, and what really sets it apart from other games in the genre is the historic period that we're exploring and the way that we're doing it. Basically, we're set in the 17th century and we have two different protagonists. We have Jeanne, who's a young French girl that has crossed the Atlantic, trying to leave behind the corrupted France and try to find a new world and new opportunities. And we have Maikan, who's a young indigenous boy of Innu cultures, who is already living on the territory of what is now Eastern Canada. And basically, what we're really playing with this game is the concept of perspective. So it's very, very common in books and in movies. Surprisingly so, it hasn't been explored very much in video games. But as you're playing from a first-person perspective, because it's a very narrative game, you're going to meet some of the characters with Maikan and sometimes meet them again later in the story with Jeanne. Same thing with places or events or environments. And what's interesting is that we have two different art directions and we're playing with the soundscape and the music. So you can see the same things from two different pair of eyes, but because of their cultural differences, they just don't see the world the same way. Like literally, the 3D models and the way the characters are shown are different. So it's really a way for us to put really concretely in front of the player a cultural relativism where you just see the world in a different way. So far, people have been very interested in it.
Where did the idea come from?
All of this stemmed from a company called Affordance. So Affordance is a company here which does serious games. So games that are not only for entertainment, but also, you know, they can be therapeutic or they can be for training in companies or even education. So we used to work a lot with schools and stuff like that. And my boss used to say it would be really cool if we did a game with Indigenous partners at one point. We don't talk about them enough. Their culture is super interesting. There's a lot of story and there was always this interest. At one point, we kind of pitched to the Canadian Media Fund with this idea of like, oh, we could do a prototype of a game with partners. The CMF was super excited about it and they gave us a pretty good no. They gave us a little bit of money for a prototype. And when we saw that everyone was really excited about it, we were like, okay, this is actually happening. And what was interesting is that we're knowledgeable in game design and game production, but also by working with experts, psychologists and banks, because of the type of games we were doing, we already had a lot of experience in working in a cooperative manner. Okay, we're making the games, but we have experts that are, you know, working with us to tell us a little bit about the topics that we're tackling. So we were like, okay, we're actually maybe the perfect group to do a game like this. It was a matter of interest. I read a lot. I'm very interested in literature, same with a lot of people around me. So then the idea of perspective really came. We were like, that would be really cool to show how they actually see the world differently.
You talked about it a little bit, but did you have any Indigenous liaisons or knowledge keepers or storytellers to help you with the storyline of it?
Yeah, absolutely. When it became clear that this thing was happening and that there was traction behind, we kind of stopped in our tracks. We needed some consultants help us develop some of the content and the ideas and the language and all of that. But we wanted to go a little bit further, and it was very important for us that some of the very key creative roles on the project would be fulfilled with Indigenous creators. So the three that we really highlighted were art director, so everything visual, composer, or everything that's musical, and the writing. It took us about a year or a year and a half of just, you know, knocking at doors, working with some orgs to try and get some contacts. We actually found a young art director from the region of Toronto that we hired, and we invited her to work with us here in Montreal. We actually worked with an ethnologist of renown here in Quebec, Isabelle Picard, who's from the Wendake community. She wrote the high-level scenario and the synopsis, and she's been consulting with us since then. When it comes to the music, we actually found, also from Wendake, a young composer from the Quebec region, whose artist name is Eatse. She's been working with us for 5 years now, working on the music, and we have a council of elders from different communities now working with us to help us make sure we're presenting things in the right way and stuff like that.
Now, turning to the video game itself, how long does it take to make a video game from idea to actual game, and how many people are involved in it?
It can vary a lot, especially, you know, in Montreal, we have a very vibrant video game development ecosystem. Some solo devs, so people working alone. There's a lot of indie companies that are maybe 10 employees or less. And you have giants like Ubisoft, which have like 4,000 employees. But video games in general are very pricey and they take a long time because what's different from movies and other mediums is that you have a lot of people from very, very different backgrounds. So you have programmers, artists, composers, very different backgrounds and profiles. In our case, we've been working from the moment where we got the first little bit of money and we made a prototype, and we were like, oh, this is going to happen. To today, it's been 5 years, and the game is going to release most likely at the end of the year. So I think by the time it releases, the full development from the idea to the finish will have been 6 years. And when it comes to people, our team has varied, I would say, between 12 and 20 people working on it at all time with external partners. So for example, we work with a company called Awastoki from the Quebec region. They're also indigenous, and they take care of everything that's 3D modeling.
It'll hopefully be out by the end of the year. And obviously, when it comes out, you want people to love the game. You want them to be entertained and have fun playing it. But what else are you hoping that people will gain from playing it?
That's an interesting question, because we're a small studio. We're kind of starting. It's our first big game like this. So we're not wearing the pink glasses, being too hopeful. We know that the first game often doesn't sell a ton. But we had a discussion about a year ago where we sat down and we were like, okay, what is our definition of success? Obviously, sell is one thing. But with the story of this game, the whole hardship of development and the whole adventure it's been, things that kind of bubbled up were critical reception for us is much more important than sales. So if fewer people play it, but they get really touched and they cry, they get moved, and the story stays with them after, that's something that's very important with us. It would be for us very much a criteria of success. So far, all the indicators have been telling us that we've pretty much done things the right way and in a very respectful way. We're hopeful that many of the communities here in Quebec will react positively to the game. We talked with a lot of communities, and so far, the feedback has been really good. So we're really hopeful that the indigenous themselves will think that this is a good project done the right way and that they will approve. The last thing is, we're kind of hopeful that maybe the game could become a staple when it comes to cooperative development, so working with consultants and outsiders to the world of development. A little bit hopeful that maybe some universities will take interest into that and study the model and be like, okay, so it's actually possible to do co-development.
Well, we will definitely keep our eyes open for the game, hopefully coming out at the end of the year. Do you have a website for us to check out so we can follow your adventures?
Yes, absolutely. The website is 2-falls.com.